You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things related to deer hunting below the Mason-Dixon line. I'm your host, Parker McDonald, and I hope you enjoy the show. What's going on, all of my Southern brothers and sisters? I hope you guys are having an incredible day. This is episode number 2 of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. Now, we got through episode number 1, and you guys just heard me talk. And I'm really excited because this episode, you don't have to just listen to me. You get to listen to one of my friends. His name is Blake Eccles. He had a heck of a weekend a few weeks ago, hunting whitetail deer here in the South in Alabama. And so we got a really, really cool episode for you guys here with our conversation with Blake. Now, I'm a little bit sad because today is Tuesday of the very last week of deer season here in Alabama. Saturday is the last day of the season, and it's been a great season. But as you guys all know, there is nothing that hits you quite as hard as the last week of deer season, because it feels like so long until that opening day of bow season. Sitting in a stand, it just feels so far away. But I'm really excited because we got a heck of a turkey season coming up, and I'm just looking forward to scouting some of this public land that I've been on. I've actually had the opportunity this week to hunt a little bit of private land for the first time all season long. I went on Saturday afternoon and on Sunday night. I went out, and a buddy of mine that took me, he shot a buck on Sunday night. And so that was fun. I got to be there with him for that. That was a blast. But on Saturday morning, I went out for my last sit on public land. I took my kayak out for the last time this year, and it was absolutely incredible because we're sitting here in February, at the beginning of February, and I'm finding more rubs and scrapes than I have all season long on this piece of property. I wasn't expecting it when I went out there. I was really not expecting to see much deer sign at all. I was expecting it to have already dried up a little bit, but I went out there and they were, I'm talking about not just little bitty sapling rubs. I'm talking about big old pine trees that those bucks have been wearing out. And so it got me pumped up for scouting season. I'm so excited. Probably next week I'm going to go out for the first time, maybe look in some of these bedding areas for some sheds and things. But mostly I'm just going to be putting my cameras out and getting ready, seeing maybe what kind of turkey sign is around the area, seeing what kind of big bucks have made it through the season. And I'm just excited, you guys. It's going to be fun. Y'all know there's not a whole lot better than seeing that first big buck on camera that you know you've got to chase next season. And so I'm really excited about it. Now, a little bit about this episode that you're going to hear today. The audio quality is not great. And I'll tell you why. So this episode was the first episode that I ever recorded for the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. And it actually wasn't even for the podcast, that the existing podcast. This was just to send to Dan over at Nine Finger Chronicles and our leader of Sportsman's Nation. This was just to send to him to let him know a little bit of what this could possibly be like. And so me and Blake, we piled into my living room, into my kitchen. We had both had successful weeks, and we thought, hey, let's just record something real quick, and maybe we'll have to sit on it for a little bit, but let's just record this and just see what it could be like. And so the audio quality is not great. We recorded this on one microphone with both of us sitting there in my kitchen, and you can hear a little bit of echo. So just give us a little bit of grace. Bear with us. It's not always going to be quite this bad, I hope. And I want to encourage you also to listen through the whole thing. Listen to the whole podcast, because at the very end, we're going to have a really special announcement, something that is going to be a great thing for this show. And I really want you to hear it. Now, I want to give a special shout out to all of the people who have listened to this podcast who are not from the South. You guys, I've had so many responses. I've had so much feedback, and a lot of it has not even been from guys from the South. I got one guy who said he was going to be a listener, and he lives in Michigan. And so I just want to give a special shout out to you, guy. I don't remember your name, but I want to give you a special shout out if you're listening right now. And I want to know, please, please, please give me your feedback on what you think about this show. Go to iTunes and give us a review. I would say to give us a 5-star review, but if you feel like this just really sucks, then give me a bad review so I know what I can work on. If you have some suggestions on things, hit me up. Send me a Facebook message on the Southern Ground Facebook page, or hit us up on Instagram. Give us a direct message. Our Instagram name is STHRN, Southern Ground Hunting. And our Facebook is just look up Southern Ground Hunting Podcast and you'll find us there. You'll see our logo. So I really hope that you guys will give me some feedback on this. I want to know what you want to hear. I really want this to be a show for the listener. I only have so many things that I know to talk about, and I want to hear what you guys want to hear. If you have some guests who you think would be great candidates to be on this show, I want to hear about those guys as well. I don't want to take up too much of your time because we have such a great episode with Blake. So we'll end this right here. We'll end this intro, and we will get right to our conversation with Mr. Blake Echols.
Yeah. What's up, Blake?
What's up, man? Ready to do this.
So what do we do today?
Just process some deer. Actually, only halfway through.
Yeah, so we still got more to go.
Yeah, got a good bit more to do. Got to get some grinding on.
We're going to get our grind on. Two men, alone, wifeless today. Getting our grind on.
Yeah, wives are out with the kids.
Yep. And we're just going
to
grind.
About to grind.
Together. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun, yeah.
It'll be a good time.
I'm looking forward to it.
So we just had a really good week this week. So we got to get some of this meat taken care of. It's been a good week.
Yeah, both of us.
Both of us. Not my best week ever. Not the best week of my life, but I've still had a good week. I shot one on Monday with my bow.
First.
Yeah.
Not first bow kill.
Not first bow kill. First public land bow kill.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was fun. But you had the best week of your life.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. I want to know about it.
Yeah, the best two hunts. So Friday afternoon, shot my first ever deer with a bow, a little doe. That afternoon, it was pretty sweet in the sleet and snow. And then the next morning.
So hold on, let me interrupt you. So you're the picture that you sent me a picture of a bloody arrow that had there was frost on the leaves. Like it was a pretty cool picture.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of sleet. There was tons of sleet on the ground.
Were you able to see the blood trail better because of it?
Actually, it kind of seemed like it made it worse. Like it made it harder. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it was, So the ground was wet and then it froze. And so there was like a wet layer under the ground. So there was just like this brown tint that you couldn't hardly see under it. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty tough to see the blood actually.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I was sitting in the middle of Buffalo Wild Wings with my wife and my baby, and we were having a night out, and we had gotten some gift cards and we were having a night out together, and I get this text, like, usually on a weekend like that, I'm out in the woods, but I did not go this time. I just got this text that was to me and our other buddy, Ben, and it was a bloody arrow, but it was in the daylight, and it was already dark outside. I could tell it was daylight when you took the picture, but it was already dark outside.
Yeah.
And then it took you, like, a freaking hour to respond back. We were like, I was like, I'm trying to have a night out, and all I can think about is this stupid deer.
Yeah, I felt pretty bad about that. The plan was to take that picture, send it to you, and then about 20 or 30 minutes later, build some suspense, and then send you a picture of me behind a deer. And that's not exactly
I was done with happened. My meal, and I ate my whole meal, like, with butterflies in my stomach.
Nervously.
Yes. My poor wife, I was trying to have a fun night out, and here I am. I might as well have just been in the woods with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you shot that deer. It was a long blood trail too, right?
Yeah, about 350 yards, zigzagging. But yeah, 350 yards, and we found her at the bottom of a pretty big hill.
That was a late night.
Yeah, we got back to camp around 9 o'clock that night. So started trailing. We let her sit for a while. Just that was tough, but we let her sit for about an hour and a half, and then trailed her, which took a while. Took quite a while because we were just fine. We for about 40 yards didn't hardly find any blood, and then got back on like really really good blood.
Yeah,
and basically walked right up to her, and then we were able to drive her down or drag her down this valley, so we didn't have to drag her back up the hill. Because the road was kind of running parallel to us, so that helped out a lot.
Dude, that's awesome.
But it was a late night, cold. It was 11 degrees or... No. It's like 18 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
But the wind was whipping.
Dude, it was cold. We were freezing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that was like the first night of that cold front that came through, wasn't it?
Yeah, the cold front was coming in that night.
Was that the day that it was really hot to start the day out, and then by the nighttime it was freezing?
Yeah, it was warmer that morning. That's crazy. Yeah, the temperature dropped throughout the day.
Dude, I would love to have been a stand that day.
Yeah, the wind, I literally at one point grabbed the stand because I thought I was going to fall out of it because the tree I was in was blowing so hard because it was blowing so hard.
Were you in a ladder stand?
Yeah, 17-foot ladder stand.
17-foot ladder
stand. Yeah, the biggest one I've ever seen. And the steps on it are horrible. You can only put one foot per step. So it's almost like climbing up the little screws you screw in trees, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's like that. So I hate that stand. Dude, in a skinny pine tree.
If there's one thing that I know about hunting clubs, I don't know how more people don't die.
I know, man.
In a hunting club.
Yeah.
Because there's stands. I was on a club one time. It was several years ago, probably 5 years ago. I was on this club and there were tree houses. They weren't blinds. They weren't shooting houses. That's what you would call them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they were tree houses.
Yeah.
And they were like built out of wood into the side of a tree with nothing really holding them up except for nails. Like
nailed to the tree.
Yeah. Dude, rusty screws.
That's
like
a grunt hunt, man. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
yeah.
You should have to sign a liability waiver before. Yeah. If I was a president of a club and I had stands like that on my club,
I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
I would have to have some kind of like
kid goes up in
waiver.
Stand.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
One time in one of these tree stands, I climbed up it, and my foot broke the wood was the step was rotted. It was rotted wood.
It says in the sun and weather year round.
Yeah. And I still stayed up there. I was like, well, I can't. I'm not gonna go down now. So I just ignored that step for the rest of the season. I hunted it a couple times, but
yeah,
that was a sketchy place. But so you shot that deer out of a 17-foot ladder stand, which is crazy. First deer with your bow.
Yeah.
And so we were all super jacked up for you. Like I woke up the next morning and I was so pumped. And I didn't get to talk to you on the phone because – it was so late, but so you called me that afternoon or like that late the morning on Saturday morning,
11:25.
Yeah.
I remember looking at my phone.
Yeah. It was like 11:25 and I was like, sweet. Blake wants to talk about this deer that he killed with his bow. And I'm not going to tell the story. But I'll let you tell it. So I thought that Blake was calling me to tell me to just talk about the deer he shot with his bow. And it was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And it sounded like I was still just as jacked up as I was the night before when when I called you. So yeah. So the next morning, it's just as cold. Like it's freezing. The wind is just whipping. And there's that old, like, I don't know if it's like this everywhere, but I know everywhere I've ever hunted, like when the wind's blowing, everybody's like, ain't no point in going out. Like, you know, you're just sitting out there for nothing or whatever. So we woke up late. Because we didn't get in late till the night before, after getting that deer hung up and everything and eating supper. And so we got out to the stand late. It was like 7 o'clock when we got out there. And so it had been daylight for about an hour. And I sit down, get a camera set up, and then just kind of get settled in. And then after I get settled in, open up a Three Musketeers because I hadn't eaten breakfast yet.
My goodness. That's a breakfast of champions.
Yeah. I bought it the day before for it.
Now, I just want to – I'm going to interrupt you right here and – let everybody know, I bought a Three Musketeers on Monday afternoon after hearing the story about your Three Musketeers, the story that you are all about to hear about why this is a significant candy bar. But I went out and bought one because I thought, can't hurt. Maybe it's good luck. Maybe the Three Musketeers is a new good luck charm. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I've ordered a box of them on Amazon since.
Chinese Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I mean them before work and everything, trying to just grab that luck that I can. So anyway, open up a Three Musketeers and it's loud, but I'm thinking the wind's blowing so hard, nobody, nothing's gonna hear this. And I wasn't really confident that morning. Like, I was just thinking, like, the stand, it was a good stand. Like, my brother shot some bucks out, like, just a spot. It's just like, it's a solid spot. And I knew there was a possibility to see something, but I was honestly planning on just filming some does, you know, just getting some footage of some does and stuff. And so I wasn't, like, super serious at the time. So I'm eating this Three Musketeers and just enjoying the crap out of it. And then I'm looking to my left, and I see a brand new scrape, like, fresh as it can be. It didn't have snow in it. And I was thinking, because there was still some like sleet and snow on the ground. And then, like, I'm sitting there thinking, oh crap, like, this might be a pretty sweet spot, you know. And I had actually missed with my bow an 8-point very close to this stand and another stand we have on the same hill earlier that season. And
that was the first deer you ever shot at.
Yeah, first time I'd ever shot at a deer with a bow, let an arrow loose. Yeah,
that's so cool.
And which was crazy. and my dad actually shot that deer 2 weeks later. Anyway, so I'm looking at this scrape and I'm thinking, man, yeah, I might see something. And where it was at, it would be a perfect shot from where I'm sitting. And I already had my camera set up like in that direction. I was thinking, man, it'd be sweet if Buck came and, you know, check some scrapes.
Okay.
And literally, like, while I'm looking at that, I hear something, or for some reason my attention was drawn to the right side, because I'm looking at the left, out of my stand. Same exact ladder stand, big, tall ladder stand, or same type of ladder stand that I was in when I shot that doe. And this morning I'm hunting with my gun.
27 foot up in the air.
Yeah, way up there, above the tree line. Something brings my attention to the left, or to the right, and I look over, and all I see is a rack. A good ways away, I'm in a pine thicket, so I can't see great, and it's real thick where it's at. Where it's at, I'm in pines that are about 30 or 40 feet high, and then there's a little buffer zone of, like, some small hardwoods, and then another pine thicket that's about, they're like 10, 15 feet high.
And you said, you may have already said this, I may have missed it. You told me that you're pretty, like, on the edge of a cutover, right?
And then there's a cutover to my right. Yeah. I'm in the corner of those bigger pines, the corner of the smaller pines, and then there's a cutover that goes along the edge of both of those.
I love hunting cutover.
Yeah, it's thick and nasty. Like, the cutover's maybe 5 years old and hasn't been replanted. It's thick and nasty.
Love it.
Yeah, so this is just a hot spot. It's just high traffic area, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I look to my right and see this rack, and he's cruising through the woods. So I reach over, and I had my camera on, and I already had it on ready to record, and I hit record, and as I'm hitting record, I realize this is maybe a big buck. I think this is a big deer. And so I hit record, but don't pay much attention to the camera, and I'm thinking to myself, like, at this point, I'm not even trying to film this deer, but if it walks into frame, it'll walk into frame. And where it's pointing is in the perfect spot where I got, like, a shooting lane you could drive a Mack truck down, you know, and that's, like, where I want him to come. And I get to looking at him, and I'm hunting my dad's hunting club, hunting with him. So there's a rule for how big the rack has to be. So I wanted to count points because I didn't want to shoot anything too small. And I had already shot a doe the night before.
Yeah, you didn't really have to. You were pretty pumped up about shooting a deer.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, I was jacked up.
With your bow.
Yeah, I wasn't going
to. It's a big deal.
There was no way I was going to shoot a small buck.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to wait for something good. And the rule's 4 points on one side. And I wasn't going to shoot just any 8-point. If I saw an 8-point, I was going to shoot a good deer, you know? Yeah. So I'm counting these points, and as I'm counting, I'm thinking, oh my God, this buck's freaking huge. And at this point, it's like 20 yards away. And I've given up two shot opportunities just to count the points.
Trying to count,
you know,
points.
Yeah, because I don't want to mess up. So anyway, so then the deer is about to, like, there's in front of me, it's really, really thick. And then to my right, there's a shooting lane. To my left, there's a shooting lane. But in front of me, there's no way I'm going to make a shot. And he's right in front of me at the moment. So he goes from 20 yards to about 8 yards away. And if he had taken 3 or 4 more steps, he would have been 8 yards away from me in that shooting lane that you could drive a truck down. Well, as his rack is coming into that shooting lane, like his nose is near the ground, you know, and as he's coming into that shooting lane, he jumps and takes off running. Like, he's moving. And it scared me because I know he didn't wind me. The wind was hitting me right in the face. It's perfect. He didn't wind me. And I was thinking, like, in that moment, I thought, is there a freaking coyote? Like, what did he see? Because I don't think he would be scared of another buck up there, you know?
Yeah.
And another deer is not going to spook him that way. And I was thinking either somebody's walking up behind me or there's like something happened. But so I do the classic, you know, to try to stop him. And he doesn't stop. So then I do it again, which was more of a like a yelling at him, you know.
Sound like somebody saying, ma!
Yeah, seriously.
Ma!
Like a pissed off kid. Yeah. So yell at him again. And at this point, he's about 40 yards away, which is about the farthest shot you're going to get in this thick crap. You know? And so he stops and he's behind a tree. And then he starts moving again. And right when he gets out from behind that tree, I shoot and hit him. And in the moment, as he runs away, his head's real high. He's running pretty good, but I only saw him for about 1 second. Like, that's all I can see because he was so dang thick where he was at. And it's right at the edge of a hill. So, you know, if he ran 10 yards, there was no way I could see him just because he was on the bottom side of the hill.
I want to talk about that. So one of the things that we started doing, you and I have been doing it a lot together, some independently. Pretty much the first time we started scouting, we started looking for this, was looking for buck beds.
Yeah.
And you're talking about this hill that he went down, which was a south-facing hill. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah, south-facing.
And that whole weekend, it was a north wind.
Yeah.
So I thought it was super cool to see this work in action. It's hard sometimes on hunting clubs because you're hunting stands that are already set up.
Yeah.
And most people don't really care about bedding.
Mm-hmm.
They do if they find a bed or know where they're doing, they'll hunt it. But most people, especially here in the South, pretty much just stick to hunting like green fields, hardwoods. Yeah. We hunt food sources just traditionally.
Yeah.
There are a handful of guys who have started with this. It's not a new method. It's an old method, but but it's gaining popularity, and that's finding and hunting buck beds, which you weren't necessarily doing on purpose for this spot. You were just hunting one of the stands that was on the place. But the way it panned out, eventually when you went down there, you saw the direction that he was headed to, and he was headed straight to bed.
Yeah, straight to. Yeah, when I got down to look for blood, found just perfect beds. I mean, it blew my mind how many there are. Rubs everywhere. And it's right on the corner of that property, too.
Yeah.
We just hadn't gone over there much because there's a green field very close to that. And didn't want to mess those guys up because they hunt that green field often.
Mm-hmm.
And we found enough sign up there. We knew that was a good stand. And but now that we've been over there and found just, like, sweet beds. I mean,
perfect. Well, and it makes sense, too, because you talk about it being on the corner of the property. A lot of times the property lines are edges.
Yeah,
so you're talking about pine thickets in the hardwoods. There's an edge, and they use – I figured out that this year to hunt those edges, and our edges in the South aren't like, you know, somebody in the Midwest. They're edges. They're hunting field edges, and they've got defined things, and we have to find, like, you know, the edge between a pine thicket and hardwoods.
Yeah.
Those are amazing spots to hunt.
Yeah.
Even
two pine thickets sometimes.
Right, exactly.
Two different aged pine thickets.
Exactly, because they'll have different levels of thickness in it.
Yeah.
I know the deer I killed on Monday, and all I could legally kill was does.
Yeah.
Or antlerless deer.
Antlerless deer, yeah.
Because I'm tagged out. So, but I was trying to hunt these edges very specifically this time. I wasn't just hunting places where I'd seen deer or seen good deer sign. I was trying to specifically hunt bedding and edges together in that time, and I ended up shooting that deer, and it worked out. I don't want to take away from your story, but I think that was a really good part to our method of hunting this year.
Makes a ton of sense.
Is trying to find beds, you know, and for anybody listening, there's a method. I think Dan Infault, if you listen to that guy, he is. Yeah. A genius. I love listening to him. He's just so smart about the whitetail deer. And the thing that I'm concentrating mostly on is on a north wind, a wind coming out of the north, the deer is going to bed with the wind to his back. So he's going to bed on the south slope.
Yeah.
The southern slope. And I've just been trying to find the steepest slopes that I can find.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can get the wind behind him, and anything that comes behind him, he'll be able to smell. and he can see mm-hmm. anything that's in front of him. And then he's also getting the thermals.
Yeah.
And it's worked, man. It's worked this year. And it worked for you this morning, even though you maybe – or not this morning, that morning.
Yeah.
Even though you probably didn't know
that
it was going to happen that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the way it worked. Right. And probably has happened to us more than we even realize. When you sit down and think about all the deer that you've killed before you even knew about this, all the bucks that you've killed, you could look at a topo map with the rut as an exception because – they're so unpredictable in the rut,
right,
especially in the type of terrain that we hunt. So using the rut as an exception, most of the time, when I think about deer that I've killed, I can look at a topo map and say, well, that's why I shot that deer there.
Right. Yeah.
Just going by the time of day, the direction the wind was. Cause you know, the hunts that I kill a deer, I remember every detail other than the shot.
Yeah.
I remember why I sat there. I remember what direction the wind was going when I sat there. And you think about them, you're like, oh, well, now I know why that deer was there at that time.
Right.
Which is just a cool thing for you. So, anyway, keep talking about, I think we were at where the deer started going down this hill.
Yes. Yeah, or so I thought. I see the deer for, like I said, 1 second, if that, and I get a general direction of where he's going in. And I always try to make a mark, like after I shoot, like, all right, I shot him right beside whatever landmark's there, this tree, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I pull my cell phone out and I'll video in front of him, put my finger up there and say, I shot him here and he ran here, you know, mm-hmm. so I remember because I get so jacked up in the moment. That I don't forget.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah. And then in certain spots, it's hard to find blood. You know, like if you're hunting an area like that, it could take you a long time to find some blood.
Yeah. Your perception is off when you're 40 foot up in a stand. Like
Yeah. That's okay.
17 to 27 to you're at 40 now.
Yeah. Every time I climb it, it feels like it gets higher too.
Yeah.
So I give the deer time. I wait about an hour or so, which was freaking tough. But I didn't know where he went. I didn't want to walk over there and he'll be bedded right there. You know what I mean? So I wanted to give him time. And my dad immediately texted him. Texted me. He was sitting pretty close to where I was at. And he said, you get him. And I was like, I hope so. We'll see. And so we gave him about an hour. I get down. Dad's getting out of his stand and making his way up, which is it's a hike to get where I'm at. It's about a mile walk or maybe half a mile from where my dad's at this point, halfway up the hill. So dad's getting out of his stand. I get down and go look for blood and I can't find crap. Like I don't find anything at all. And I look for about 30 minutes and he's still not there. He's still getting up the hill. And at this point, I got to back up just a little bit. So during that hour, I'm freaking out. Like I'm thinking this is the craziest hunt or weekend I've ever had, you know? And then I'm like, oh crap, I'm recording right now. I got to stop recording. This is 10 minutes later after I shoot the deer. Well, I go to look at the camera to see the video because his rack should have been in frame where I had the camera set up. So I'm thinking, oh, at least I'll be able to see what he is. I was thinking, man, he's a big eight. And then I was like, no, I counted the main beam and four on the main beam. I didn't even see the brow tine. So he's a 10, you know? And so I go back to look at the video and it wasn't recording. And that camera, when it stops recording, makes this click, like this click, and it's the lens retracting and the shutter closing, I guess. And I was like, oh my God, that's what spooked the freaking deer.
Running away from
that's why he ran. And in that moment, I almost threw the camera, the expensive camera. It's a pretty expensive camera. And I almost just threw it as far as I possibly could.
I quit filming.
Yeah, I text my wife. I didn't even text Parker. I didn't text any of my closest friends because I was pretty at this point, I'm thinking I'm the biggest idiot in the world, you know, but I still think I have this deer. You know what I mean? I'm like, wasn't like an ideal situation, but I got him, you know? And, so I like ripped the camera off the tripod, slam it in my backpack. And I'm like, and I text my wife and said, I'm never filming another hunt again. I was like, it just got in the way. And I was thinking this could have ruined everything if he wouldn't stop, you know?
Yeah.
Then I get down and I'm telling myself, no, it's good. You know, at least you got that shot. Well, I get down, look for 30 minutes, find zero blood, not a drop, no hair, no nothing. I'm hunting with a 270. It was a 40, 50 yard shot. There should be something, you know, don't find a thing. And at this point I'm thinking, you're the biggest idiot in the world. You tried to film this deer and you lost this is like, it would be the biggest deer that my whole family's ever shot. And I'm thinking,
Biggest deer of the Eccles clan.
And we hunt, man.
And the Eccles clan has killed some big deer.
Yeah, some decent deer. Good Alabama deer. Yeah. I'll say that. And so, anyway, get down looking for blood, don't find any. So I pack all my stuff up, and we always try, like, if we pull the trigger, we always try to get a second set of eyes out there, because I've shot deer before that ran 50, 60 yards with no blood, you know?
Yeah.
Or hardly any blood. It's some real thick stuff. You may find some hair, something, but you're not finding good blood. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, to do our due diligence, we try to get a second set of eyes on it, and we just grid the whole area.
Which is rare for people in the South.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that we have to argue with guys a lot of times, like, that we hunt with.
I've hunted with guys in the South and in Texas I was in Texas.
Yeah.
I've hunted with people in Texas, too, that are this way. They'll look for 5 minutes. They don't see any blood.
Mm-hmm.
They're out. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I shot a doe last year, and she ran off. She fell down, ran off. I never found a drop of blood, mm-hmm. but dude, I was going all over the place looking for the stinking deer.
Yeah.
I hiked so much that day, just trying to find routes that she could have taken.
Yeah.
About me. Let's get back to your deer.
So I pack up and I text my dad and said, looks like a clean miss. And I start hiking down this hill to, you know, intersect him, to meet up with him. And I knew we were going to come back and look for it, but I was going to let my dad look. I was done. Yeah. I thought that was it.
You were that guy.
Yeah. I was that guy. And at the moment, I'm emotional. Like, I'm a wreck, man. Like, after shooting that doe and then thinking I just blew the biggest opportunity in my life after one of the best moments of my life 12 hours or 15 hours ago, you know? And so I was a wreck, man. Like, a straight up wreck. And I meet my dad. And he didn't get that text about the clean mess.
So your dad, every time I see your dad, it looks like he has a permanent smile.
Yeah.
What was he like right here?
Dude. So in this moment, he sees me coming and I can tell he's pretty pumped. You know what I mean? But like pumped and a bit concerned because he can see my face, I think is what it is. And he can see just the, like, my son looks like his dog just got ran over. You know what I mean? And I meet up with him and like, hey, clean miss. I think we need to look, but clean miss. And all credit goes to him. Like he taught me to always go back, and he sticks with it. You know what I mean? Like he's solid as far as he always goes back, no matter how bad it looks. He always goes back. So all that credit goes to him. So he's like, well, I don't care. I got to go look. And I'm like, yeah, all right, let's do it. So what we did is I sat in the stand and just motioned kind of with my hands like, all right, he's right here. He ran this way. And I got him positioned in the exact spot that I shot that deer. So I thought. So he stands there. He walks to where I show him the deer ran, the direction the deer ran. And then I get down, go over there and meet him. He didn't find nothing. Like, didn't find crap. So I was like, all right, let's just look around. Or he said that. At this point, I'm not saying a lot. I'm just kind of eyes glazed over. Yeah, eyes glazed.
At that point, you were done?
Dude, I left my backpack halfway down the mountain.
I'm selling all my crap.
Like, all I have is my gun, just in case. Just to make my dad happy. You know, like I'm not giving up, Dad. I got my gun still, just in case. And leave my backpack halfway down the mountain with my knife, my gloves for gutting, like, everything that I need.
There's literally no faith in you.
No. At this point, I'm thinking, you suck. You blew this. Yeah. So Dad's looking around. He's looking around, and I'm about to start looking around, and I'm standing on the edge of the younger pine thicket and the big pine thicket, and there's that buffer zone where the sapling hardwoods are. A few big hardwoods, but not many. And, like, right on the crest of this hill, all right? So I'm standing there and literally look down, and in between my feet, there's a massive drop of blood on a rock. Now I'm
just standing, randomly.
And I'm standing 10 yards to the left of where I thought I shot the deer. All right. And about 10 yards farther in the woods from where I think thought I shot the deer. And actually was pretty right on where I shot him, like, mm-hmm. as far as how close he was to me. But I was 10 yards to the right of where I thought he was. And I guess just in that moment when I was having to yell at him, get him to stop and all that stuff, I just didn't know where I was at, mm-hmm. you know. So where I told Dad to look for the deer, he wasn't anywhere near where I told him to look. And I hadn't looked anywhere near, and I'd gotten so close to that area. Dude, I had to have walked right by some of the, like, some of the blood. I
love that feel.
Yeah. So,
here you're like, you shot the deer. You hit it.
Dude, I look down, like, I look at it, and my first thought is, that can't be your blood. Like, that, it, but nobody else somebody is hunting else's, that stand.
Somebody else's blood.
Yeah, that's somebody, what was I don't know what I was thinking, man. Like, I was just a bit of a wreck in that moment, you know what I mean? So, I look in front, like, towards the stand, and I see good blood. And then I look to the left and see good blood, and I'm thinking, that deer did not run where I'm seeing he ran.
Still somebody else's blood trail.
Yeah, like this, I didn't shoot the deer here, you know? Yeah. But I'm thinking, it had to have been me. Nobody else hunted this stand in 4 months, you know? So, and it's like steaming. You know what I mean? Like, it's fresh blood. It's been about an hour and a half now, so it's still like just that deep red. It was good blood. So I start whistling like crazy, trying to get my dad to come back over there. And it was actually Dad who said, Dad was like, hey, they like to run along this thicket, and mm-hmm. it was a hard trail right there, and I was like, well, I know they like to. He didn't run that way, mm-hmm. but apparently he did. So that's why I only saw him for 1 second, is because he turned right and literally turned right and went straight back in the woods. So that's why I only saw him for a second. Yeah, and in the moment, you know, I just thought that I lost him because it was so thick.
So all right, so you killed him, or you shot him?
Shot him.
You know, you shot him now.
Yeah, he's hit.
So you follow blood. I want to get to the part that I know is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just great story.
And we only followed blood for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, so 15 minutes, we're following blood, decent blood. Like,
yeah.
We know he's down somewhere. Going straight down a mountain. I mean, it's steep, you know. And the whole time, I know me and Dad are both thinking, dang, if this thing's at the bottom,
yeah,
we got to get him out. The only way out is up. Because there's property lines on every other side of us.
Right.
So we get to where it's almost like level, to where we're almost at the bottom of this hill, and we're looking at good blood, and it's a thick pine thicket, dude. Like, we're cut up from briars, and there's vines everywhere. Like, it's thick, it's pretty thick stuff. And so we find really good blood, and I stop and it's kind of scanning in front of me, and I see a deer laying there. Now, his head's not up. From where I'm at, I can't see his head, mm-hmm. but if he was, like, I could see his head if he was sitting up, you know. He's laid over, his legs are out. I'm thinking, this deer's dead. So I throw my gun up, put my scope on it, tell my dad, hey, I see something. And he told me that I looked like, so. He said I just focused in and was just on it, you know. And so I throw my gun up, put the scope on his back, his chest not moving, this deer's dead.
Yeah.
So I turn around, and I looked at him for probably 20 seconds, like, and that felt like days at the time, you know, just because I did not want to spook this deer,
because
it was so thick.
It's a good deer, too. I mean,
yeah, and I'm thinking, this is a monster.
This isn't just like a little bat scare rack, and you already know that.
Yeah, yeah, I know it's not a small one. I know it's my best deer, if I get it. So I turn around and look at Dad, and I say, I got him. I take a step. And then as I take that step, and I don't have my gun up at this point. I have my gun down because he's a dead deer. I take a step, the whole deer just like jumps, like flings himself up, slings his head around. And at this point I'm thinking, oh my God, this is a freaking monster. And I'm trying, and
it's
it's huge. It looked like an elk standing up. Like it was so tall, dude. Like it felt so weird. And we're only 10 yards away from this deer, you know? So we're right there on top of him. So he jumps up. Well, I throw my gun up, obviously. All I can hear behind me is, shoot, shoot, shoot. And my ears are still ringing from the shot, the other shot, you know, and I hear, shoot, shoot, shoot. And I'm trying to find him in my scope, can't find him. Finally get him, pull the trigger, and he falls over. And I'm thinking, how did I hit this deer? So I just...
This is my favorite part of the whole story, by the way.
So I keep my gun up. I rack another round, keep my gun up, and just walk straight. Like, I'm looking through the scope, have it right on him. If he moves, he's getting shot. So... Anyway, I'm pushing through brush, pushing through briars, ripping my shirt up, get up to him, and I'd missed him, but he was about to go. So, but he looked like he was dead. So.
I love that. Like, I've shot animals before where I can't find the bullet hole.
Yeah.
In them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did I just give him a heart attack? Did I just scare him to death?
Yeah.
They fell over dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did I just scare him?
So
they just
Yeah, apparently
with the animals.
That's what happened with that with that shot. It just scared him. But he was about to go. So my dad, he looked dead. My dad jumps up, grabs the rack, and the deer just about slings him into the woods, slinging his head back. Yeah. So I put another one in him, and he's gone after that. And I just fell to my knees, put my gun down, and just put my head down, and was doing everything I could not to just lose it right there in front of my dad, you know? So my dad puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like, you need a minute. And he starts looking at the deer, you know, picks the rack up, and it's bigger than I thought it was. And it just kept getting bigger as I looked at it, you know? So I get up, and just, I think for 2 or 3 minutes, I didn't say a word. Like, I just sat there, and I just could not believe it. Me and dad both just sat there. It was like, this happened.
Here's what I know. You know? Here's what I know is that somebody who doesn't hunt, like, the fact that they never get to feel that kind of joy, like that kind of feeling and relief, it's like almost every single emotion balled up into one.
I'm getting teary-eyed talking about it.
Yeah, like
reliving that moment.
And it's a part of it is because you know the hard work that you put into it.
Yeah.
Part of it in this scenario is just being relieved that you got it. I mean, that's a lot of roller coaster stuff that happens.
Oh man.
And then the biggest aspect of that whole thing is just respect for an animal like that.
Oh man, yeah.
Because this deer was what, 4.5 years old?
4.5, yeah.
4.5 years old, 135 inch.
Around 135, yeah. Yeah. Scored him like 133.
That's what you got him at?
Yeah, 133.25.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet, dude. I didn't know that you actually had him scored.
Yeah, scored.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. Cause you got lowballed on that by some people, right?
Yeah.
Saying like
low
120s or something like that. That's also a thing that's pretty common
here in the South.
People get jealous pretty easy. I think that's everywhere, but
yeah.
But the biggest aspect of it is just pure respect for that animal, because that's an old deer.
Yeah,
he survived. I mean, we've talked about that club before. I mean, there's some guys in there that'll shoot just about anything.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And then just that county, the county that you're hunting in is not known for letting deer walk. I was on a club in that county at one point. I killed my first deer in my life in that county, actually.
Yeah.
And
that's what people do there. They hunt.
Yeah, they just hunt.
Man. It's in the middle of nowhere.
And they shoot. They kill. Yeah. They like to kill.
Yeah, man.
Which is fine. Like, that's totally... If a guy wants to do that, I'm cool however they want to hunt as long as it's legal.
Yeah.
I wish people would hunt differently, but you know, I'm not God and I'm not the lawmaker.
Yeah, that's
so
how it is, man.
I'll hunt the way I want to and they can hunt the way they want to. But this deer, man, I love the guy at our church the other day. We were standing around talking about it. He showed the picture. He said, that's the biggest deer I've ever seen killed in Alabama.
Like, there's a few more that beat this guy out.
That's a stretch.
He's a good one. But
thanks, you know?
Yeah.
That was awesome. I love that.
That was the best reaction.
You're not going to get a better reaction than that.
Yeah.
Somebody put this deer in the record book, you know? But I was so pumped up for you, like, for days after that, after I found out about it. You called me, and you were like, bro, I just had the best week of hunting I've ever had in my life. And I thought we were still talking about the doe that you kill with your bow.
Right.
So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool, you know? A doe. This is sweet. I mean, I was still pumped up for you. I didn't care.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just shot a monster 10-point. Oh, snap. Like, it just got real up in here.
Yeah.
But dude, I was super pumped for you. I love seeing people kill, be able to take a mature deer in Alabama, because that just doesn't happen much.
Yeah.
And I told a guy the other day that you can kill good deer in Alabama if you've got money, or you're willing to work very hard.
Yeah, crazy hard.
And I don't know that I'd even say that you have a whole lot of skin in the game as far as money goes on this club.
I don't.
Yeah.
I was a guest.
Yeah, you were a guest.
I was that guy that weekend, the guest that shoots the big buck.
Like, you literally kind of, I mean, you're a good hunter, but you kind of got lucky with this deal.
Yeah, yeah.
He just happened to walk out in front of you. But I do know.
Yeah.
What I do know that you told me before you even went out there, you said, I'm going to hunt the stands that people haven't really cared for this year.
Yeah.
Because that's where I want to be at. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah. And this stand, I've hunted this stand for this is my fifth season to hunt this stand, because I always hunt with my dad, usually going two hunts a year with him. Mm-hmm. And for 5 years, I've hunted this area. And in this area, we've had just good. My whole family's had success here. My brother shot, I want to say my brother shot 4 or 5 bucks out of the stand I shot this big one in. And I missed that big 8 this year with my bow out of the stand my dad was hunting that morning.
Which is on that same ridge, right?
Same ridge.
Bottom of that.
Yeah. About a quarter mile away down the ridge from me. So,
and that was a good deer. That deer had Coke can basis
on
him. And that was the deer you missed with your bow. Dude, I could not imagine. I'd be so mad at you. I love you like a brother and everything, but I would have been so ticked. Like, I never killed deer with my bow. And you kill that deer or your first deer with your bow. Like, I would have been happy for you, but at the same time, let's say this. I would have been happier for you than I would be for anyone else. Yeah. But still, that would be the thing that'd be like, come on, man.
You know? Everybody's supposed to shoot a small doe for their first bow
for their
kill.
First bow kill. That's how it works.
And I
think it's written in the Bible somewhere.
I think it is too. Yeah.
Pretty
it's,
sure.
It's, yeah.
I love to see that kind of success. And it's pretty cool to see it happen with your dad there. Like, yeah, I got to kill the biggest deer I killed this year. My dad got to be there and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And dude, just a smile on his face. We were talking about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The smile that's on your dad's face whenever you are able to take a good animal or any animal.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to have that with my kids. Like,
dude, yeah.
Because at the moment, you know, when a friend of mine is able to kill a good deer, you know, I love it. Like, I love that you killed that deer.
Yeah. It's
there's
awesome.
Honestly nobody else. You and my dad are the people that I want to kill good deer.
Yeah.
I'm just as happy, maybe a little less happy than if I would have done it, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
If I'm just being honest. Everybody else, though, a lot of times I'm like, I'm happy for everybody. I love seeing people be able to get a good deer, especially a kid or a first-time hunter.
That's
I love
awesome.
It.
That's
awesome. But, man, like, I cannot wait to have a child that's aged to hunt so I can know what it's like to legitimately want them to be able to take something more than me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I can't imagine that feeling because I've just never had it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you don't know how it feels to love something as much as you do when you have a baby.
Exactly.
The moment you see it, it's like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I might have just compared childbirth to shooting deer.
Yeah, that's okay. There's similarities.
Yeah,
there.
It's pretty close. I love, that's one of the things that I do really enjoy about Alabama and just Southern deer hunters in general is it's traditional. It's family tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You don't meet a lot of people whose dad and grandpa didn't hunt.
Yeah.
You don't meet a lot of hunters whose dad and grandpa didn't hunt. And so, I love that. I love that about Alabama. And just in the few hunting clubs that I've been a part of, I wasn't a part of one this year, but you can see that. You can see families like your family that all get to come out and enjoy it together.
Yeah.
And I love that. That to me, that is the most valuable thing about leasing land or clubs or anything. It's just the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And the relationship that you get through it. And now this year, I didn't get on a hunting club and decided to hunt only public land. And dude, it's been a good year.
Yeah, like, you've had the best season ever,
I've ever had.
This is insane.
It's, I didn't shoot the biggest deer that I've ever killed, you know?
Yeah.
I shot that buttonhead on Monday, which I thought was a doe, but it ended up being a buttonhead. I shot it with my doe. With my bow.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I wasn't expecting to be able to see a deer like that, you know?
Yeah.
And especially not within bow range, but
right.
I was able to get that. And you came in and helped me get it, and we paddled it out.
Pulled it out, paddled it out. Yeah, that was awesome.
It's like 11:30 when we got home.
Yeah, it was late that night. Really?
I think I shot that deer at, what time was it?
Four or something?
Late,
yeah, it had to have been
four o'clock. Like,
yeah, 4:30, 4:45, something.
And the deer only ran 15 yards.
Yeah.
And I had a similar story. It got up whenever I got over to it. I let it sit there. I watched it lay down.
Yeah.
And we got over to it, and it had its head all the way down. I didn't even see it breathing, and it stood up, and I had to put another arrow in it, which it's not fun to watch that, but
that's tough. That's part of it, I guess. Yeah.
But I shot that deer, and that was fun, man. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
I shot a deer with a borrowed crossbow at the beginning of the season, and that was the first one that I was able to put on the kayak.
Number one.
And dude, it may have well been my first deer. I was just as excited about that deer.
Yeah.
But I did feel like I cheated myself by shooting it with the crossbow. I've never shot a deer with a crossbow. But I just could not get these stinking deer to come in range. And I was a little bit nervous about hunting public land.
Yeah.
Because I'd been seeing deer, and typically during bow season, there's not nearly as many hunters out.
Yeah.
And so I'd been hunting this spot and seeing a ton of deer, but nothing in bow range. And so it was the week before gun season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was having nightmares about walking in and people being in my tree,
like a pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
Like walking into a pumpkin patch.
And dude, I'm telling you, if that didn't happen, I shot this deer. I went in the opening evening of rifle season, and I went to three different spots, and there was people in the tree.
Yeah.
At all three spots. I say in the tree, they were sitting on the ground in the middle of the creek. This was the worst. I'm all about people hunting public land, dude. I don't mind. I don't mind for a bit if somebody walks underneath me or anything like that. Like, I don't care.
At least they're out.
Yeah, at least they're taking advantage of public land. Like, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. But I just wanted to, like, strangle them because I was, you're not going to kill a deer there. Don't sit there in that spot,
yeah.
You know? But it was fine. And what it did is it pushed me to go and find new spots.
Right, yeah.
Where I eventually killed three bucks and then this buttonhead that I killed. And so
tagged out,
dude.
At the beginning of this, you nonchalantly said tagged out.
Yeah.
Tagged out on public land.
Yeah. On public land in Alabama.
First year hunting that public land.
Yeah.
Hard. Yeah.
And with the kayak, I paddled every single one of those deer out.
Yeah.
And so that was fun, man. I really enjoyed this season. And I enjoyed the challenge of learning more about deer, learning more about deer movement. I loved whenever you told me the story of how that deer was, and you talked about seeing all those beds and rubs and scrapes down there where he died at.
Yeah.
It's really cool being able to hear that story and say, well, that's why he was there.
Yeah.
He was going to that bed, yeah, you know?
That's why it happened.
And so I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. And hunting public land has just been – it's been a challenge. Like, it's hard. I have to get up early in the morning. I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning if I want to hunt a morning hunt.
You get over an hour drive to get there. Just to get to the boat ramp.
Just to get to the spot where I put in, and then about a mile and a half paddle. You got to paddle that for the first time.
Yeah, sweet paddle.
Buddy. Yeah,
it was awesome, man.
It was fun. It was
long paddle.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we pulled that deer out. That was fun, man.
That was awesome, dude.
I really enjoyed getting to do that with somebody else, but. The thing that I like about hunting in Alabama is there's so many different types of hunters. You have people who just bow hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who just gun hunt.
Yeah.
You have people like you and I who, whatever the opportunity we have to hunt, we're going to take it.
Right.
You know? I love to bow hunt. I would prefer to bow hunt.
Yeah.
It's the rush is definitely more intense.
It's insane. Yeah.
But I'll pick up a rifle too. I don't care. Like, yeah. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
I don't think I'm better than somebody just because I hunt a certain way.
Yeah.
But you got guys who have private land, or are in a hunting club, and then you have public land. There's such a large population of deer hunters that are all different here in the state, and I would like to see it come together more than what it is right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do that. But I think guys like me and you, who are completely non-biased anyway, if somebody wants to sit in a high fence and shoot a deer out of a high fence.
Yeah.
I may not agree with some of the tactics used in a high fence, but I don't have any issue with the high fence.
Right, yeah.
I'm from Texas. If you have an issue with a high fence, they will hang you.
Yeah.
And I've shot animals. The ram that's sitting right here next to us.
Yeah.
I shot that at a high fence, and it was fun. Like,
yeah.
I didn't tell anybody it was hard, you know? I didn't tell anybody it was challenging, or that I scaled a mountain and
not in the backcountry for 7 days.
Yeah, it wasn't at all, but it was just fun. I got to hang out with people.
Yeah.
But here's what I like, but also it's a blessing and it's a curse about Alabama, is that we have so many different ways to hunt that everybody thinks that they're right. And and I love sitting here with you and talking to you about it, because we're so similar, man, that we don't have any issues with anybody hunting the way that they want to hunt.
Right, yeah.
I hunt, and you do too. You do too. Mm-hmm. You didn't get the opportunity to do it as much just because of going to Nepal and things. But I hunt the hardest way that I can think of in Alabama.
Yeah, for sure.
I know there's harder. I'm sure there is. But it's
be tough to find.
It is. It's difficult. And yeah. Man, I'm not going to look down on somebody who – I'll tell you this. If a stud just walked out here out of this field behind my house,
yeah,
I would tell you to grab my gun and shoot it. And
you would hunt that, the back – yeah.
Yeah, if I could.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't shoot it because it would be illegal, but because I'm tagged out. But you got two more buck tags.
I got two more tags.
I would like, and I would be just as pumped up as if we went out and paddled and you shot a deer out on public land. Like, I just – man, I love that. Yeah. I love sitting here talking to you about it. I love talking to you just about deer hunting, because I feel like we're both super passionate about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But one thing I'd like to see in Alabama is that camaraderie come together even more.
Yeah.
And I feel like a podcast like this could do that, because a podcast like this, it highlights every style of deer hunting.
Right.
As long as it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Every legal style of deer hunting. I don't have an issue with any deer hunter. Any outdoorsman, as long as they do it legally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much, and I don't think it's just a Southern thing. I think it's a nationwide division within this industry, and within not even the industry, just within the sport.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they know better. And I'd like to see more people come about like what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think that we can shed a lot of light, because we have a lot of experience in all the types of hunting that there are, you know?
Yeah.
Back to the hunting club. This is probably the most common, I would say, the most common form of deer hunting that people.
I'd say by far in Alabama, there's just not a lot of public land.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Yeah. And
it's not something. You talked earlier about, you know, being like generational, you know, like I hunt with my dad hunted with my granddaddy, my mom's dad. It was, and now they started hunting on public land way back in the day. You know, this is like years and years and years ago. And I don't really know people that hunt public land for the most part in Alabama. Like everybody's in a club somewhere, you know, and it's just privately leased land from timber companies or individuals.
And how long has your dad been on that? Did you say 5 years?
He's been in this club for at least 5.
But you grew up in hunting clubs.
I didn't know what public land was until I was probably 15 years old, and not looking at it for hunting. It was I was looking at it for backpacking and camping.
Yeah.
And when I found out you could hunt on it, it was so taboo to me. I was thinking, no. You can what? Like, what do you have to do that? Like, I have a license already. I can hunt that? It was so crazy to me that I could use that land, because I just thought it was public land. You could camp in the designated campgrounds.
Me and my dad, we used to drive when we'd take long trips. Mm-hmm. We'd see like a big hill or something. Be like, that looks, I want to hunt that. And the first time I heard about public land, like large pieces of land that I could hunt whenever I wanted to, however I wanted to, like, it was like Christmas.
Yeah.
What? You're telling me I can just go out there.
Because I'm a human.
Because I'm an American.
Yeah.
I can go out there and hunt it. Cause I grew up in Texas, which is still the South.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a different type of hunting for sure.
Yeah.
There's different laws and things there, but there's less public land in Texas than there is in Alabama, I would think. I've never hunted Texas pup plant.
Yeah.
Everybody leases land. They don't call it hunting clubs, though, there. They call it leases, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, we don't call it leases.
Yeah, it's a hunting club.
Going to the club.
We're going to the club this weekend. But you go to your lease, to your deer lease, and camp out. Yeah. That's just the way I was raised, man. We did that. I've done that my whole life until I moved to Alabama. And now I hunted in Georgia. I killed my biggest deer ever in Georgia, actually. But people have a misconception about what a hunting club is and what hunting in the South actually is. Because most of the people that listen to podcasts or most people that are on television or any of that kind of stuff, it's Midwestern or Northern guys.
Yeah, for the most
and
part.
Where it's private land and they get permission. Mm-hmm. Or they own land or whatever. And also their tag system is way different.
Mm-hmm.
We can kill – I mean, if you bow hunt only – you can kill a doe every single day of the season in Alabama with your bow.
And 3 bucks, which is a recent law, too.
Yeah.
Four years ago, you could have killed a buck and a doe a day.
Every single day
of the season.
That's insane.
And that's from, like, October to – at the time, it was from October 15th to January 31st.
But what I've noticed that our population of deer has gone up tremendously.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know a lot of people who are just, ain't no government going to tell me what to do. I know those kind of people are not fans of these laws.
Like the doe days.
The doe days. We have certain days you can shoot a doe with your gun and the 3 buck limit.
Mm-hmm.
most of the people that I know, now they may listen to this and deny it to my face, but I know for a fact they'll kill 3 bucks, but that last one, they're not going to write it down on their tag.
Might not make it to the license.
Yeah.
The old harvest record may.
Because they want to have one free space.
Just in case.
So it's just a mentality, though, man. I'm not going to name those people, and I'm not even going to I'm not going to call them out on it most of the time. Because it's a mentality. They were raised hunting this way.
You hunt that way for 42 years.
Yep.
It's taboo.
And I came into Alabama with a Texas mindset that's, I think, 2 bucks and 3 does. Mm-hmm. You get 5 tags on your license, which is still liberal compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah.
But in and coming into Alabama, man, if I can kill – if I just want to go get meat – I can kill a doe every single day of the season with my bow. I'm not going to do that. I'm done now. I still got
and
a month.
And in some parts of the state with your gun.
Yeah. You can still do it.
In certain zones,
In our zone, though, you can't.
Bow only.
Yeah. We could go, 20 miles south?
Yeah, where I shot that bow, it was still gun season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people are so, I think, so against somebody telling them what to do. They're so against authority telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and just set our ways, too.
All it would take is Donald Trump saying, hey, this is a good idea, and everybody be all about it.
Mega, baby.
Man, he's like the Messiah in Alabama.
Yeah.
But I have seen a definite difference.
I have, too.
Was last year the first year of Doe Days? I think it was,
yeah.
And I've seen tremendous difference just in deer population
mm-hmm.
and does.
Yeah.
Used to, you'd go out, man, and you wouldn't see you could sit for days upon days without seeing a deer.
Yeah.
And last year I had some days like that. And it was tough.
Yeah.
But this year I haven't gone a whole lot of sits without seeing deer.
Well, I've hunted 12 times and of the 12 times I've hunted, and I feel like in decent spots, like very good spots. And, of those 12 hunts, I think I've seen deer four or five times, and then just not even seen a deer the other times.
But let's say this, though. You've had 12 sits.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those sits were on public land?
Probably seven of those sits were on public land.
So,
and on public land, I saw like 2 deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going into public land, and y'all are hunting the ground, right?
And I was hunting on the ground, yeah.
Hunting on the ground.
Hunting with a chair, yeah. Didn't carry a standard.
Still kayaking in, though.
Kayaking in, yeah.
Kayaking in your spots. I have a kayak that's set up to carry a stand easily, though. Mm-hmm. And a lot of most kayaks can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not easily, anyways. But you guys, so you had 12 sits, and you shot two deer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen deer, what did you say, on
four sits, yeah.
Four sits?
Four or five
sits. So almost seen deer. Every sit on that club, seen deer.
At 50% of the time I go out on that club, I've seen deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even in that club, when I shot that big buck, I was talking to a guy that's in it. He was down there because the rut's just now getting kicked in. He was down there for 6 days and saw two deer and hunted every day. And saw two deer.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's been a good year. It's been a good season.
Yeah, it's been my best season. What a shorter season for me. Only 12 sits. We still have almost a month. Yeah, we have 3 weeks left. But yeah, a shorter season for me with only 12 sits, but the best season I've ever had.
Dude, you had a good 2 days, really. But you know what? All it takes is a split second to make your season from terrible to amazing.
Within 18 hours, it was just an emotional roller coaster.
It's awesome.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And getting to experience both of them with my dad. That was where it's at. That's what it was about.
I got to do it twice.
On public land.
On public land, I got shots. To paddle out two deer with my dad there.
Two bucks with my dad there.
God, yeah,
that's insane.
On rutcation, that was fun. But man, I'm looking forward to scouting. I am ready to get on my boots on the ground. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
Man. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, next season's gonna be insane.
That's what the famous words of every deer hunter. Next season is when it's gonna happen.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do next season.
I'm gonna scout more. I'll tell you that. Man, I'm looking forward to it, Blake. It's been awesome, dude.
Yeah, man. It's been
fun. Next time, we'll have to figure out something else to talk about because we just talked about a lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah, season's almost over.
Season's almost done, dude.
Yeah. Start planning for next.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. Man, I enjoyed my conversation with Mr. Eccles. Seriously, I know you can tell the sincerity in his voice, but he is one of the nicest guys in the entire world, and I believe that so much. I told you to stick around because we had something really special that was going to be announced at the end of this episode. I believe that you enjoyed Blake so much that I have asked Blake to become a regular part of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. He is going to be here from now on as the show's co-host. And I am very excited about it. He is, like I said, such a good guy. And there's no one who deserves the weekend that he had. No one deserves it as much as Blake Eccles does. And so we're going to be talking more in the future. We're going to have Blake on the show. And we're going to have some really cool guests. As always, check us out on social media. STHRN Ground Hunting on Instagram. And Southern Ground Hunting on Facebook. Check it out. I know you're going to enjoy some of the content that we're putting on there. You have a God-given right to have dominion over the earth. And so I just want to encourage you to go out and exercise that dominion. I'm Parker McDonald. Until next time, you guys have a great week.